This morning we have the first article and explanation, which we'll speak together. It's found on page 32 and in the lower left column, the first article and explanation, and we can speak it in unison. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body, soul, eyes, ears, all my members, my reason, and all my senses, and still preserves them, that he richly and daily provides me with food and clothing, home and family, property and goods, and all that I need to support this body and life, and protects me from all danger, guards and keeps me from all evil. And all this purely out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or grace, for all which I am duty bound to thank, praise, to serve, and obey him. This is most certainly too. Please rise as we continue with our hymn, hymn 463. Our sermon text for this morning is recorded in Paul's first letter to Thessalonians, 5th chapter, beginning with the 16th verse. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And we pray, these are your words, dear Heavenly Father, sanctify us by the truth, your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. No matter how normal your family may think it is. There's probably one oddball dish that you have to have at Thanksgiving. One dish that you wouldn't have any other time of the year, but you could not possibly have Thanksgiving without that one dish. But you could make it other times of the year. You just don't. It's just a Thanksgiving thing. It has to be there. And in my family growing up, we had such a dish that you just could not have Thanksgiving without it. It was a type of Jell-O. But it was no ordinary Jell-O. It was highly special Jell-O. It was strawberry Jell-O, but mixed with Cool Whip and had frozen strawberries thrown in as well to make it extra fancy. And I know, we're high-class folk. It had to be on a day worthy, like Thanksgiving, for you to enjoy this special dish. And it was dubbed Pink Fluff. That is our Thanksgiving delicacy. And we just couldn't have Thanksgiving without that one dish. What's one thing that is needed for you to have Thanksgiving happen? And in case you're wondering, no, I'm not talking about food anymore. I've moved on. What is the one thing that you need for Thanksgiving to happen in your life? It's a little bit tricky. The reality is often we have a tough time being truly thankful. And sometimes there are things in our life where it's like, if only this one thing would go my way, this one thing would work out, then I would be truly happy and thankful. Then things would be just right. And that is an easy mentality to get into. And just like, you know, growing up where it seemed like, well, this pink fluff needed to be there for Thanksgiving to happen, sometimes we have a rough time at Thanksgiving because there's one thing in the back of our minds where we think, if this one thing was right, Thanksgiving would happen. I would be really thankful, massively thankful, if this one thing would just work out. And that's why Paul writes his lesson here for us. He teaches us a great deal about Thanksgiving and kind of that tricky part of things that hold us back. He writes again, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." You know, those are tricky words. He says, rejoice always, getting at happiness, right? If you're happy, you rejoice, you're joyful, and it goes hand in hand with Thanksgiving. And it's not just be thankful when everything is just right. He actually throws in that really tough phrase for us, in all circumstances. How can we be thankful in all circumstances when often there's maybe that one thing at a time we think we're missing? When that thing isn't there, how can we truly be happy? How can we truly be thankful? And actually Thanksgiving and happiness go hand in hand. If we're not happy, we're not going to be thankful. How can we be happy and thankful in all circumstances? Because the thing is, our sinful nature is always thinking, there's just one more thing ahead. If this happened, I would be set. Things would be just right. There's always one more thing on the horizon that with our human nature, we think, this one thing is going to be the difference maker. This can help me be happy. But there's always something. It always eludes us. There's always that one missing dish, so to speak, that eludes that always something that we could think about to keep us from being truly happy and thus thankful. Our human nature wants to be happy when we think the earthly life we have is just right and perfect, but Paul says kind of the opposite, that thankfulness, thus happiness, is something that should be able to happen in all circumstances. So our human nature says, I'll be happy and thankful when things are just right. God's word says that shouldn't be relevant, that there should be ability to have happiness and thankfulness at all times and all circumstances. The thing is that to be massively straight up about it, we're not overly thankful people. And in many ways, we're not overly happy people. That's how our sinful nature works. We can maybe play a good part and act like we're very thankful. We can say thankful things. We can act pretty happy and cheery and nice and friendly. We know there's that deep, dark spot that things keep us from being truly happy, truly thankful in this life. As we dwell on these earthly things, we, even if we have so many blessings and blessing upon blessing, there's always something more that, if I could just get this right, I'd be happy. And think about so many of the things that we're not overly thankful about because we're just so beyond that, right? Like food, for example, or all the stuff in Luther's first article explanation. It's easy to go by that and think, oh, ho-hum, yeah, that's nice, I guess, but I'm beyond needing just food here. I need, again, that whatever that one thing might be for you. And that's why Thanksgiving gets a little weird. I mean, how do you even be thankful? Is it just like a feeling or a prayer where you're like, well, I've, you know, haven't really cared about food all this, you know, year or thought much about it, been grateful about it, so I guess this is my one token thank you for food. Or yeah, my family's massively annoying, but, well, here's my one token thank you, time to visit with them and pretend like it, no big deal. Or, yeah, I've been worried about finances all the time, but, well, here's, you know, my token thank you for what I do, for what little tiny bit I do have. And so, in many ways, it becomes a sham Thanksgiving. We're not really thankful, we're not very happy, and we're totally over being thankful about food, and there's that one thing that we feel we need to truly be finally happy. That's how bad it gets for us. But to get out of this thankful rut that we're in, Paul has it just right for us. We figure out his saying, be thankful in all circumstances. We first need to get very realistic about the fact that in this earthly life, there will always be that one thing missing in our life. It changes. It's not always the same thing that we feel is missing and keeping us from happiness. There's always going to be something that we can point to and say, oh, if this changed, I'd be really happy and really thankful. There's always going to be something. And the first part is embracing that reality and realizing in this earthly life, nothing is going to just be, oh yeah, everything is finally perfect and I can take it easy. That's why we talk about the world as being a fallen and broken place, right? It's not just an abstract idea like, yeah, there are problems out there somewhere. We talk about us living in a fallen and sinful, broken world. We mean the world that I'm in, and I'm a part of it, and I caused some of the sin and brokenness too. And so there is always going to be that imperfection, that hole, that thing that's missing. And with Paul saying, in all circumstances, that's a massive reality check for us to realize that, no, things aren't just going to be perfect in this earthly life. We need to figure out and realize, how can I be happy in spite of the fact that these things are never going to line up perfectly? In many ways, we need to realize and embrace that something is always going to be missing in this fallen world to appreciate our Lord and the many spiritual and heavenly things that he's done for us that put everything into perspective. Jesus earned all we ever need to be happy and thankful in all circumstances. He was perfectly content. Our Lord was perfectly content to live in the lowliness of this earthly life, to be under the law for us, to follow that law, make up for our sins, and bestow on us his perfection and righteousness. He was happy and content to go to the cross for you and me and to face suffering and death and hell on that cross for us because he knew what it would accomplish, the forgiveness of our sins, putting us right with God again, restoring that relationship. And what it could be more thankful than knowing we have life, that Jesus rose from death itself to assure us that we have our own resurrection and life to look forward with our Lord in heaven. And all these gifts and blessings he's given to us, coming to us by working faith in his word and his sacrament with this Holy Spirit. So he's brought us all of these blessings, all this boatload of blessings to us spiritually. And what's more, he gives us plenty of earthly things too. It's not that the earthly stuff around us is bad. It's that we can only properly understand them in view of God's spiritual blessings and embrace those earthly things for what they are. Yes, great gifts, but if we hang our hat of hoping happiness on it, it is just not going to cut it. There will always be something missing. But in view of the spiritual blessings, everything finds its proper place. And so, you know, unless my wife randomly surprises me, I don't think I'm probably going to get pink fluff this Thanksgiving. My wife actually isn't overly into it. And that's okay. I think Thanksgiving can still happen without that pink fluff. Whatever that pink fluff in your life might be, whatever that one thing that's maybe bugging you that can make you feel like I need this to be happy or content or whatever, we found great comfort from Paul that, yeah, though we might be missing out on that, whatever that pink fluff in our life might be, we have far more in Christ. We don't have to lack anything and let that ruin Thanksgiving. So I truly do wish you a happy Thanksgiving. You already have absolutely everything you need to have that happy Thanksgiving. Don't let anything ruin it. After all, we have Christ. We have the biggest heavenly feast possible in heaven through him. So with Christ, we truly do have it made. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great and innumerable abundance of blessings, both physical and spiritual. Make our hearts ever thankful and content in view of Christ's life, death, and resurrection. With peace, forgiveness, and eternal life, grant that we embrace the life you've given us with its many blessings but also challenges. May the things missing in this fallen world remind us of the glorious riches you have in store for us in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We continue with our hymn.
Of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit